As I was reading through the Bible, I came across a psalm that was very interesting. I like the psalms. And this particular psalm is a personal psalm from the Lord to each of you. It's the 139th psalm. Psalm 139. And in that psalm, in verse 14, the reader is telling God, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. You know, we are a pretty fantastic work that God has made. For anyone to think that some kind of slime crawled out of a sea of mixed up elements and metals and things, they've got to be a little off base. Did you ever think about what God has done for you in this life? And have you ever criticized him for the way that he made you? Think about this for a minute. Have you ever been critical of God for the way he made you? There's a psalm that deals with it. It is the 139th psalm, and I've met and counseled with people who have been uncomfortable with the way God has made them. And you're moving through this life, you've met some of them, they're all around us, and we're forced to observe them as we pass through our lives. They're the people that you see covered with tattoos. That usually indicates a certain instability about that person, in that they think they can change themselves and improve the way they look from what God has made them. Now, it doesn't mean you're wrong to have a tattoo. A lot of men got tattoos. There are passages in the Bible about doing things to our bodies, and we're not supposed to. One such passage is Leviticus 19, verse 28. Let me read that for you. Leviticus 19, verse 28. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. This was a common practice among the pagans at the time of Moses. When someone close to another person would die, the other person would flagellate themselves in a belief that their doing that would remove any sin from their lives or any wrongdoing, exhibiting a works belief that you can work your way to heaven. That practice has evolved into the prideful exhibition of tattooing a person in memory of a person who has passed away. Today, many people are unhappy with the way they look, or they think they look, and so they get tattooed so that they will be more attractive to others. Some people even get tattooed to prove that they are more macho than the others, anyone else. It might have seemed like a good idea at the time, but later, there is usually regret. It's not inexpensive, nor painless. It hurts to have different colored ink injected in under your skin. It's not painless by any means. The people who usually and really enjoy pain, they might choose to be tattooed all over their body. There are those who think that a tattoo makes them more attractive to a particular person. And I'm not here to criticize anyone. I would like to qualify any statements that I make as we study the 119th Psalm. Like many people, there are certain parts of my body that I'm not happy with. I think that I could have been more to my liking if I wasn't quite so plentiful around the waist, for one thing. But whose fault is that? Okay? That was a very expensive undertaking. And I don't think it turned out exactly the way I wanted it. Psalm 139. I hope you are there. Let me read the first three verses. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. And he starts out, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. When some of us committed our first public wrongdoing, we felt that everyone was looking at us. We felt guilty. So we looked guilty. And people could tell we were up to something. When we got away with it, we had a little more confidence the next time to do the same thing again. And we learned to get good at wrongdoing. Many of you are parents. Many of you have children or have had children in the home. They're grown now, have children of their own. But do you remember when that child told their first lie to you? Remember that? Well, I think the dog ate the cookie. Couldn't look you in the eye. There are people, adults today, who can look you right straight in the eye, lie like a rug. Our whole society is getting that way. And that is relevant to all of us. Somebody lied to you last week. I don't know if it was in a business transaction or just common communication. But I don't do business on the telephone anymore because I can't see their eyes. And it doesn't give me a chance to let the Holy Spirit guide me. Psalm 139:4 says, For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. God knows what we're going to say because he is omniscient. He knows everything. We cannot sneak past God. We cannot fool him. He knows what's on our mind. He knows what's in our heart. And he definitely knows what's on our lips before we speak. God knows what we're going to say before we say it. And if we ask his help, he can let his Holy Spirit guide us. And we will say what he wants us to say. I don't know if any of you have ever had the experience of saying something to someone and it turns out to be prophetic. I remember a young man who was bragging about the house he had just bought and financed. And I asked him, I said, was God part of this program or part of this plan? And he said, no, God had nothing to do with it. This was my decision. And I asked him, this was a young man. This was a man in his early 20s. I said, what if you're not around to pay for it? Oh, I'll be around to pay for it. A year later, he was dead. And I realized, I remembered what I had said to him because I said it in front of a Sunday school. And so the Holy Spirit will tell you sometimes what to say to someone. Maybe they're lost, maybe they're saved. Maybe there's something they need in their life. But that's what he's there for. That's what God has given him for. And God knows what you're going to say. He'd like to guide you. Psalm 139, 5 and 6. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Wherever we go, wherever you go, God goes with you. He is always there. God goes with you. Good place, bad place, God is there. Psalm 139, 7 through 12. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be bright about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. In this psalm, God tells us there is no place that you can go that God is not there. No place. Wouldn't it be good to be sure that God is your friend rather than enemy? I personally don't want God for my enemy. I would rather be his friend. I believe you would too. Psalm 139, 13 through 15. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. God has established every detail about us, and he has overseen every part of our being formed. God is watching over you from the time of conception till the time that you breathe your last breath. He is watching over you. He's done that for you, and he's done the same thing for me. If I'm having problems with something about me, God made me that way. Which one of us can criticize God for what he decided to do with us? We are exactly what he wants us to be. You are exactly what he wants you to be. He has a purpose for you, and you are made for that purpose. There's no question. God made you for a specific purpose on this earth. Either did it as I was formed, or he did it during the creation of Adam and Eve in the original Garden of Eden. It was intended by God to show and to make you the way he wanted you to be. God does not make mistakes. No part of you is a mistake. No part. Every part of you is exactly the way God made it and wants it to be. He has a purpose in it. He has never, ever made a mistake. Psalm 139:16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. No matter what your parent may have told you, you were not a mistake. You were not a mistake. God ordained for you to be born just the way you are. It says that he planned how he wanted you made, every part right down to the fingernails and toenails. God has watched over you and all your parts since the beginning of time on that first day of creation. Your parts didn't exist, but God knew that they would one day, and he provided for them. The Bible says that he wrote everything in a book. And I believe that that book was the mind of God. Psalm 139, 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I am awake, I am still with thee. Did you wake up this morning in the presence of God? You'll go to bed in the same presence. No matter where you are, what you've done. God is never far from us. How can he be interested in the little speck that I am or you are? Yet he is. He has a plan for me, and he has a plan for you. Every time that someone aborts a baby, they deny God's plan for that child. Just think of that. Committing an act against God. And that's what they are doing. God permits that abortion to take place so as not to interfere with the free will that he designed into every man and woman. But I want you to know that before that child, from the time of its conception to the time of its young years, when it begins to know the difference between right and wrong, for all of that time, that baby, if it loses its life or gives up its life for any reason, will go back to be with God. We call that the senior moment, age of accountability. Thank you, Bobby. I just couldn't find that word. abortion is wrong. It's murder. It's fighting God, going against God, because God was bringing that life into being for a purpose. Just like he has brought each of your lives into being for a purpose. God has a purpose for you. A lot of people go through this life and never discover what the purpose is. They waste all the years that God gives them. I know you don't want to do that. Ask God, God, what do you want from me? Why did you make me? Not why did you make me the way that I am? He did that because that was his purpose. He is God. God does not make mistakes. That's why he sent Jesus. And he saved you for all eternity. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That was what God wanted for you to start. From there, he has a whole life, a whole number of experiences for you to go through. And that's all life is. Life is just experience after experience after experience. And the more we have, the more interesting life is. And the less we have, the more boring it seems to us. But God wants your life to be exciting. God wants your life to be joyful. And so this psalm is speaking to that. God wrote this psalm to you. God wanted you to be conceived, born, or you wouldn't be here. God has a purpose for you. And you are not a mistake, no matter what anybody might tell you. God has loved you from eternity past until this very moment. God does love you. He loves everyone seated in this auditorium. That's why he sent Jesus. Psalm 139:19-22. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take his name in vain. And then the writer says, do I not hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemy. Part of all the problem that you and I have, that we don't hate the same thing that God hates. At least not in the same way. We get acquainted with those who hate God, and we even become friends with them sometimes. And when we come to know God, we don't always learn to hate those who hate God. We may be children of God, but we're pretty inconsistent when it comes to living our lives. We love our children, even if they don't know God. And that's one of the areas that's very difficult for us as parents. In Psalm 139, verses 33 and 34, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's why we're all here this year. We want to be in God's way. Are we willing to ask what the psalmist asked of God? Are we willing to let God try our hearts and see if they're 100% His, or if there's a percentage that's ours? God knows all about us. He knew about us before we were ever born, before we were ever created. It's time for you and I to evaluate what we really are in relation to God. Oh, we may feel like we have a relationship with Him, and we do, in fact, if we have believed that He sent His Son, sinless Jesus, born of a virgin, living a sinless life here on this earth, 33 years worth, and then dying on the cross of Calvary for your sins and my sin. And God did not leave Him in the tomb, but on the third day with the Holy Spirit, God raised Him from the dead and recreated His life, gave Him a new life. Oh, He was God, but He was also man. He died the perfect Lamb, the Lamb that was spotless without sin. And because of that, it tells us in Romans, if we will confess our sin and believe in our heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, we will be saved. And so this morning, I trust that everyone here has been saved. Now, once you're saved, you have something you owe God. You are His servant. You are His servant. Wherever you go in life, whatever you do in life, you are His servant. And He has a purpose for you. He had it before you were conceived. He has it yet. God is unchanging. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Before you were born, God's purpose was committed to you. You have a service for God. You have a purpose for God. And that purpose is why you are alive this morning. So what will you do for God today? Did you get up and think that was that the first thought that went through your mind? What can I do for God today? What can I do in the way of service? What can I do in showing somebody else that God loves them? I'll be honest with you. That was not the first thought that entered my mind. And I bet it wasn't the first thought that entered your mind either. My first thought was of me, myself. What can I have for breakfast? I'm not perfect, folks. I'm the same as you are. And we all live human lives. We all think of life a little differently, each one. But yet God has a purpose for you. Do you know what that purpose is? Do you understand it? Can you visualize it? Can you live it? That's a hard question. Can you live the life that God intended for you? Can you do the things that he intended? Are you willing to trust? This 139th Psalm was written for you. All you have to do, if you're having a bad day, sit down and read this Psalm. See what God has intended for you. Don't ever forget it. Psalm 139. A personal psalm written to you, God. Father, we do love you. You have told us that you love us. You have told us that you sent your Son because you love us. And Father, we believe that. Show us, each one of us, what your purpose is for us. Show us, each one of us, what we should be doing for you, to serve you. And Father, may we serve you according to your will, according to the time we live in. May we believe your word. May we practice your word. And Father, help us every day to read your word and hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Thank you, Father, for each one who has come out this morning. Thank you for your Holy Spirit to minister to us. Now may your will be done in each heart, each life. And we'll praise you, Father, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.